Good morning, everybody. We meet together this morning with the wife and family for the funeral of Graham Stevens to trace out God's leading in Graham's life for the glory of God. And may Beryl and all the family know the gracious favour of God as their comforter today and indeed the days ahead. Let's now seek for God's blessing in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we come to that one who rules and reigns over everything. That one who created the world and all the universe. And that one who has created us. And that one who indeed created Graham and was with Graham through his life. And so, Lord, we come this morning thankful to know that we have a great God, a God who is in heaven, a God who rules and reigns, and that nothing we know occurs in this vast world without the divine permission and purpose of Almighty God. And so, Lord, we seek that thou would come and bless us as we hold this service today. And we pray, Lord, that as we're able to recall some of the gracious work which thou didst do in Graham's life, it may prove to be a benefit and a blessing to those who listen, that we may have the recollection and realization that this is the work of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we therefore are blessed to be able to remember thy goodness to Graham over so many years, that the family, and especially Beryl, may be encouraged. Oh, Lord, we're thankful for all that thou hast done. And now, Lord, Beryl has to press on by herself. But, Lord, may she know that she is not alone, but that thou art graciously with her to sustain her and to strengthen her in the days which remain for her life. And we commend to thee all the family and all of the children and the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren, Lord, be with and bless everyone. We're very thankful to know that we can, therefore, commend each other into thy kind care and keeping. And, Lord, we know that thou dost know the future. We don't know. Lord, the way ahead is unknown to us. We're thankful it's known to thee. We pray this may be a comfort to the family as they press on day by day. And Lord, we pray if it could be thy will, thou wilt strengthen Beryl from her weakness and grant she may gain some strength once again. Oh Lord, we do especially pray for her. And so, Lord, as we're gathered together on this occasion, we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may descend and come upon us and touch our hearts so that we may realize that what we are dealing with are very glorious and very precious things when we consider the work of our God. Lord, bless thy word as we read it together. Bless the hymns as we sing, and may they be blessed also. And so, gracious God, we come now, commending ourselves to thee. O Lord, look upon us and do us good, and bless us indeed, and leave us not, neither forsake us. O God of our salvation, we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we shall now sing the hymn on the hymn sheet, which is also hymn 174 in Gadsby's selection. We're singing this hymn because of Graham's positive response to his wife's question, "Is Jesus precious?" which was confirmed when she found this hymn written in the middle of his Bible. Let us sing together then this first hymn, "Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive." A hymn on the hymn sheet.
Hey!
we might please God to bless the reading of his word to the profit of our souls. We'll read a number of scripture texts. The first is words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 1 to 2. It reads, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted." And then, in the New Testament, the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And then in Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, but unto me every knee shall bow." And then again, returning to the New Testament, and the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 51 to the end. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And then turning to the book of the Revelation, chapter five, and reading from verse 6 to 13. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. And the final reading from Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, so reads the word of God. Now, I would extend our warmest sympathy to Beryl, the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren. You've lost a loving husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. One who prayed much for you and was always concerned about your day-to-day life, but was more concerned about your eternal life. May his prayers indeed be answered. May you know the very real blessing of comfort from God now and in the days ahead. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's spiritual life is different. There is only one standard for our spiritual life, and that is found in the Bible. Every true believer, their life measures up to the testimony of the Bible. It may be short, it may be longer, it is always the quality rather than the quantity. I'm sure whatever I say about Graham, he would have wanted it to glorify his God and not himself. Indeed, he wrote in 2001 that he had produced this account that it might accord honour and glory to the triune God. So our prayer is that it may do just that. Graham was born on the 28th of November, 1927 in London. And in 1946, moved to Thornton Heath and attended Tamworth Road Chapel. It was here that he met Beryl. They were married at West Street Chapel on the 23rd of August, 1952. In 1954, they moved to 77 Little Heath Road, where they have continued to live. He spent his business life as an engineer. It was during the war that Graham believes the Lord first spoke to him. There had been an air raid siren sounded, and he was lying in his bed and was not sure what to do, but the words came to him, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. He says, his mind was calm and he felt totally at peace, and these words remained with him throughout the war and remain relevant on a number of occasions when he was seconds away from being hit by shrapnel and bomb explosions, and also helped many times since the war ended. In the summer of 1944, he desperately wanted to see a film at the Odeon Cinema in Streatham. He just entered the building when the air raid siren sounded. You could hear the roar of the bomb approaching, and then suddenly the engine stopped. He expected the bomb to fall on the cinema and he would be killed. Thankfully, he carried on further, and there was in fact no damage to the cinema. It had, however, a great effect on Graham, because he felt if the bomb had destroyed the building and he had been killed, he would be facing a holy God on the judgment seat, who would require him to explain his presence in that place. He says he immediately left his seat and went home and has never been in an entertainment cinema since that time. After attending West Street for some years, the church asked Graham if he would kindly lead the singing. He said he would give an answer in a few days. He went to the midweek service with a burden to know whether this was right, and the text was taken, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." He ventured forth, pleading this promise, and was helped to do this for 40 years, and was never brought to confusion. He had a difficult time on one occasion when working for STC. He was faced with the possibility of telling almost 100 people their services were no longer required. However, fearful of the outcome, while driving to the work the following morning, the words came, "Be still, my heart, these anxious cares. To thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonor on the Lord and contradict his gracious word." And the following verses in that hymn. Amazingly, when he reached the office, he found there was a change of plan and the people would not lose their jobs. He tells us in February 1989, he had been trying to meditate, something he had never been able to do. But he prayed for help, and the word came to him, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He says, "I believe I saw something of the majesty, righteousness, and justice of God, something of the vileness of a sinner before a holy God, something of the merciful love and kindness of Jesus, and this was sealed with, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." After this, there were three occasions when he felt constrained to go forward regarding joining the church. But on each occasion, felt he was rebuffed. We now come to a time of great sickness, but also blessing. It is a mercy for us when these two things are combined. In December 2001, Graham collapsed at home and was taken to hospital. As he was being transferred from the ambulance to the A&E, these words came powerfully to him: "Jesus saves." He says, although only two words, Jesus was the immovable rock and as a nail in a sure place. And of course, it's in Isaiah 22, verse 23. This was followed a little later by the words he had relative to leading the singing, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." He says his promise, this promise, has been with him and has been his stay for over 50 years. A small operation was carried out, which it was hoped would be successful, but it was not to be. The result was that he had to undergo much more serious operation, which produced a life-threatening situation. The cupbearer came to him, "So, time and place, yea, means and mode, were all determined by our God." He says he was brought down, but raised up, and the words came, "Determined to save, he watched all my path, gracious God. When Satan's blind slave, I sported with death." However, being told by the surgeon that recovery would be slow, he was rather depressed, when he returned to the ward, but was encouraged by the words of Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He goes on, for I shall yet praise him. And then later, he was able to focus his eyes and to read Psalm 77. On the second Lord's Day in hospital, the pain was quite intense. And the words came, what is all my pain compared to thine? Referring, of course, to the Saviour. When I consider our Lord Jesus Christ suffering spiritually as well as physically, physically, I felt to be dying. And I besought the Lord that he would comfort, sustain, and provide for my dear wife and take me to himself, unless it was his purpose that I should testify to of his great mercy toward me. Graham found that the Lord was graciously pleased to grant times of help until he was discharged. After 2 days at home, he realized he had not been vigilant, seeking the Lord as he had been in hospital. And he saw once again his presence. The word came with such power. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. At that same time, as receiving the word, he had a sense the Lord was saying, I've carried you over the last few weeks, and now this is a word for the future. The word was sweetly confirmed in the evening when his daughter asked if he would like to listen to a sermon. She chose one of Mr. Peter Simmons, which was on this very text, and he described grace as a divine and unmerited favor of God, the loving kindness of God, and the forgiveness of all sin. When Graham was in hospital, after a few days, he kept a daily record of the blessing of God with him. And on day 11, he tells us he was very ill in the hospital for 6 days, but during that time, the Lord was very gracious to him, enabling him to meditate upon humility and also realizing how frail he was. He realized that in this state of humility, he can do nothing absolutely for himself. And he was totally dependent on the Lord to give skill and wisdom to others to sustain life. He goes on to say, I thought of what the dear Lord suffered for sinners. I was surrounded by praying loved ones and doctors trying to sustain life. The Lord was surrounded by wicked, cruel men intent on hastening his death while he bore the sins of the redeemed. He also thought on Jonah's prayer, where he said, and I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and to the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Day 12, he was still able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He comments, I still do not know whether the promise, my presence shall go with thee, is for time or eternity. Then he says, the Lord seemed to break in with the following. He gives a number of things. That he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He who has helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through. In prayer, the sinner looks at the mercy seat of Christ and ventures, despite all his guilt, put everything in the Lord's hands, hands of love and mercy. None ever perish looking unto Jesus. For the wonders he has wrought, let us now our praises give, and by sweet experience taught, call upon him while we live. I cannot of myself think one thought aright. I can truly say, I know what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I know thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Day 13, he said his pastor visited him and quoted Isaiah 38, verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Also, the words in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. It was a day of thanksgiving. There had also been a turn for the better in his health. I will praise the Lord. Yea, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And that was in Psalm 111, verse 1. And also Psalm 136 was blessed to him. He says, amidst my own rejoicing, I was suddenly reminded how quickly the situation can change. The person in the bed opposite died suddenly. In our thanksgiving, may we be kept from pride in our deliverance. Even pride, the Lord should deign to notice us. We are reminded how God rebuked Hezekiah for his pride in showing the ambassadors his wealth. In day 14, tonight, my thoughts seem directed to think of love. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love, beyond all others, costly, free, and knows no end. We prove his everlasting love. And then he says, may the Lord be pleased to surround my loved ones and each of my dear friends with his love. What a vast subject is this love. Who can know its bounds? Love to him and his. May we be kept from a dissenting spirit, and we made willing in the day of his power. Oh, to be given grace to walk in the spirit of love. May he give patience and remove any chafing of the mind when we might be aggravated by trivial matters. He then says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says, I can see such love in them. He goes on such love my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O Lord, such love to me? He says, the devil is never far away. And he's even now telling me, this is all natural emotion brought on by physical and mental weakness. But the devil is a liar. Then day 15, Graham's sister Maureen and her husband came after the evening service and told him she had prayer for him, and she received a powerful word. This sickness is not unto death. She said many people have been praying for him. He said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be given all the glory. 'Tis the Lord whose matchless skill can from afflictions rise matter eternity to fill with ever growing praise. In day 16, the day seemed to start badly and he felt he could not handle the future. Then the Lord broke him with, beset the snares on every hand. In life's uncertain path I stand. Be still, my soul, these anxious cares, for they are burdens, thrones and snares. The pastor called at 2:30, but he was asleep. He kindly came back at 3:30 and spoke very nicely in prayer. Day 17, went home for a few hours and went asking a blessing, almost overcome with a gratitude for the goodness of the Lord. And day 18, I can say with the psalmist, a very present help in trouble, and believe we have experienced that. Underneath are the everlasting arms. May he in mercy continue to grant patience and quietness of mind. And in day 19, the Lord was pleased to grant some sleep in the night, although it was very noisy. Thinking of my dear one and myself, hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee, O God, be merciful to me. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Graham now moves on to July 2002. He says, the time came to have his ileostomy reversed. He was blessed with a word, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He came with power. He said to his wife, this will be tried. And so it proved. The procedure was expected to last 7 days to almost 3 weeks, but he proved God's words to be true. Graham said he would like to have written that he was favored with the Lord's presence, as he had been in the 6 months previously, but it was not so. He says the heavens were like brass, and so it continued until he arrived home, but by God's grace, he was healed. The testimony now jumps to the 2nd of May of this year, and his wife writes, Graham fell in the garden, and he was in a lot of pain, and at 2 a.m. on the 4th of May, he could not tolerate the pain any longer and was unable to move, so he asked me to call the ambulance. Graham suffered greatly for 3 weeks. The day before he passed away, we were allowed for a short time to visit him, and I was allowed to stay in there whilst each of our 3 children were allowed individually. When Deborah was asked to leave, she asked Graham if he could hear her. He nodded, and then she said, you know, underneath are the everlasting arms. And Graham nodded. When all 3 children had been in and left me alone with Graham for a few precious minutes, I said to him, is Jesus precious to you? Graham lifted up his hand and nodded. Then I said, do you want to go to glory, to be with him? And Graham very quietly said yes, and lifted up his hand and nodded. On 3 occasions while I was beside him, Graham opened his eyes and they were such a bright blue I'd never seen before. He looked up and I thought he could see something that I couldn't. I phoned the hospital on the 23rd of May and were told he was very poorly. We asked if we could have one further visit, and they agreed that only one person could visit in 15 minutes. The nurse took me to Graham, and he was unable to communicate. He raised his arm and then held my hand, and Graham passed away that evening. And then just on a personal note, he wrote to me on a number of occasions, and from 3 of his letters, I'll just quote what he said. Firstly, may our prayer be often that of Horatius Bonner. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. And then secondly, how narrow is the way which separates the new man of grace from the old man of sin. It is very hard to find that self and pride can't pass through. May he give us grace in these matters. And then lastly, he says, I had a Luther moment recently when all my failings to do good came before me, and I felt, can ever God dwell here? Then I believe the word spoke, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. How thankful we should be for such promises. Well, there we have perhaps a rather lengthy account of some of the things that Graham was able to record. And surely as we've gone through those things, we've seen how it was his desire, and surely it is. The name of the Lord is honored and glorified. Real religion can be summed up very simply in a few words traced out by the believer. And I believe it's like this. A perishing sinner and a precious Christ. This was evidenced very clearly in Graham's life. And it should be that which is evidenced in all of our lives. What a mercy it is. Now, thinking about these things, one of the points that Graham spoke about was everlasting. Now, Psalm 103 and verse 17 tells us, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. This word everlasting, it's a great word, isn't it? That great everlasting. And to think that now where Graham is, by the grace of God, he is everlastingly with the Lord, to be forever with the Lord. No separation. It's very hard for us as we are on the earth to realize what this really means, because it means that there is this eternal state and condition in which Graham now finds himself, and of course everybody who dies will find themselves in this everlasting state. And this everlasting state will be in one of two places. It'll be either with the Saviour in glory, with the whole Church of God, and praising him, or with the devil and his angels. We think, therefore, that this is a certain position. The Word of God, which is true, clearly tells us. And we should never think that anything else would exist. And so here we have this word everlasting. And it means what it says. Try and ponder it. Try and think what it means. That means there is no end. There is no time in eternity. No time at all. It just goes on and on and on and on. And it never changes. Everlasting. You and I, my friends, without any doubt, will be in this everlasting state. How sad it is that so little time is spent while we are on the earth considering the things of eternity. We seem to often live our life as though there was no eternity, as though there was nothing everlasting. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit, comes and touches our heart and enables us to think on the vastness of eternity, and therefore to be very concerned that our soul, our eternal soul, is ready for that great change when you and I pass out of time, when time for us will be no more, and we shall be found in that eternal state where there is no change. We shall either be in heaven or we shall be in hell. Now, this verse here in Psalm 103, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. And that's a great statement, isn't it? And that should be a very encouraging statement. But the mercy of the Lord, Graham in his testimony mentioned those words, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, God is merciful, and he does hear the cry of his people. He does answer their prayer. So may it be in all of our lives that we, as we recognize there is a holy God, and we are unholy, we are sinners of the earth, we've sinned because we've disobeyed the word of God, that we come pleading for his mercy. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. What a blessing it is then if we come pleading for mercy, that all our sins may be forgiven, and that through his mercy, one day we shall be in glory with Christ, which is far better. And we are told in the word of God, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. So may we be concerned that we are blessed with this gracious and glorious prayer for mercy. Mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him. Well, it's a great question, isn't it? Do we fear the Lord? Graham feared the Lord. Do you and I fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, this fear of the Lord is really in two scenes. It's really as we fear the judgment of God. I believe every truly converted sinner believes they're brought to Christ as the only way of salvation, and they tremble before a holy God, realizing that unless their sins are pardoned, unless they're blessed with a spirit of repentance, they shall end in eternal hell. Oh, it's a very solemn, solemn position. But remember this, the door of God's mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. So may we be found knocking at that door of mercy and pleading that the Lord will look upon us and remember us with that favor he bears unto his people. And do remember, the word of God is true. The devil will say it's not, but remember the devil's a liar. He always has been. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to the word of God. And so this word everlasting, that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. Well, no unrighteous person will come into heaven. And that doesn't mean that you and I can produce any righteousness ourselves. The Bible tells us all our righteousness is as filthy rags. What does it mean then? It means that we need, every one of us, to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And the Bible describes this as a robe of righteousness which Christ gives to us. He puts upon us his righteousness, and you know, in exchange, he takes from us all our sins. And all our sins are taken away through his great and glorious death that he died upon Calvary's cross. Indeed, how wonderful it was that our friend Graham was able to declare in that letter he wrote to me when he said, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All of us need to realize that we are under the blood. Because if we are, we are eternally safe. And we can believe through the grace of God that when we come to die, we shall go into being with Christ, which is far better. Remember, our life on this earth is so, so short. Eternity is immeasurably long before us. And may we all be concerned, therefore, that we know the mercy of the Lord, and that we know the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and we're blessed to know the righteousness upon us, and to continue to be led and directed by our gracious God. Well, my friends, we are on the earth still. Graham is not. Graham, we believe, is now in glory. We always need to ask the question, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? So let me just reiterate the statement I made earlier. The true blessed work of God in the soul of the sinner is this, to convince them of their sin and produce that they are a perishing sinner with no hope in themselves and look to a precious Christ as their only Saviour, the Saviour of sinners. Well, may we each be brought to that position and then be given that faith to believe it is well with our soul. Let us now conclude with prayer and the benediction. Most kind and gracious God, we give thanks for the remembrance of thy goodness to Graham over many years. And Lord, and thou didst not leave him nor forsake him. So, Lord, we're thankful there is a record of thy goodness and mercy to him. We pray now, Lord, that would comfort us, especially comfort the family in their bereavement. But Lord, we're thankful they don't mourn as those who have no hope. And we're thankful for it. Oh Lord, then be with them, support and bless them. As Lord, we go to the grave in a little while. We pray for thy presence and blessing there. Oh Lord, do us good. Remember everyone who has listened to us this morning. And Lord, may there be the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. O Lord, accept our thanks then for every mercy. And we ask all these favours and blessings in the worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.